innovation is in our veins. Soon the whole world will know our names. Sharing our knowledge and freedom reign. We here for the people, you know it's our way. Setting foundations is part of the dream. It doesn't matter if you're new to the game. Listen up now, cause we all gon' say, ugh. Elevate, 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 higher. Elevate, 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 higher. We gon' rise up, we all gon' shine. Work through adversity, stay on the grind. Elevate, elevate, this is our time. Elevate, elevate.
Welcome to the Elevate Podcast, everyone. It's so great to have you all on this beautiful Thursday episode one more time. It's your boy Josh.
And Reg.
And we're grateful to be back on with you. We are here. And as I said, surprise, we are stoked to be here because we have a budget to talk about. And we're going to get into all the nitty gritty of it. Reg spent the whole day reading this thing for you, for the people, for me, and for the world. So what is going down in this country? What is happening with this government? And we're going to break it all specifically down, and especially since we, Mr. Christian Firth, got himself raided by the RCMP, who, if you don't know who that is, member of GC Strategies, those who are in the involved getting a lot of the money, $60 million worth, in the Arrive scam app situation. So we'll be touching on all of that today. We are excited to be here. Reg, how are you feeling, big dog?
I'm feeling good because I've also got a bonus thing for everybody, too.
Woo!
Quebec, Montreal, you know, they might be saying au revoir, depending on what happens in this referendum vote. So we'll dive into that as well. But feeling like today is full of bonuses, lots of gifts for everybody. We're glad you're with us on a Thursday. And feeling a little burnt out from reading that friggin' budget. I spent quite a bit of time on that. I did not get the whole way through it, actually. I'm not going to lie. There's a lot in there. I got about 80% through the whole thing. I skimmed the supplementary material, too. But I think I got a good gist of it. But
Did you take some time, sit on a couch, and try on your best heels before you read that thing?
Only the most expensive ones, you know.
Ooh, let's go.
I want to make sure that I'm really representing the times well and, you know, sticking with tradition.
Oh, trad husband. Here we go. Oh, no, we're excited to jump into all this and we wanted to do it for y'all. It was funny. I'll start off with this. We ended this past week on Tuesday, we ended. And I'm getting in the car going home, getting ready to edit that episode. Jen texts me. She's like, you know what we should have done? We should have done a live stream breaking down the budget. And mm-hmm. I was like, nah, no one cares about this. And she's like, okay. Like, it's huge in the political world. I just want to say it's big in the political world. But I was like, I just think regular people are just done. Like, they just know that Trudeau is going to overspend everything. We're over it. Man, was I wrong.
I was going to say.
Holy jump.
Wrong.
I was so surprised. I couldn't believe how much, not only obviously the political world and the pundits and all that were blowing up over this thing, but people were frustrated. They were angry. They were ticked off. And I was sitting there like, Oh, they say that. Oh my gosh. It was crazy. And I was like, okay, I guess we're going to have. And then you texted me. I'm out here at the lacrosse rink last night. And you're like, we got to get ourselves back in studio and talk about this dang thing because it was a lot. And so Reg is going to obviously help us take us on a journey. And you better sit your butts in your seats. Buckle up because he's going to take us on a ride. I'm just here for the commentary. And then as well, I'll be addressing some things that have been said on the populist right through all this that I have some things to discuss on that and address some things that are circling on Twitter and social media that I really want to make sure is clarified before we push any harmful narratives that aren't helpful in times that are just annoying as heck. So Reg, take us on our journey.
Okay, I promise I won't take you on too arduous of journey because we do not need to go over 400 pages worth of budget in the next 5 minutes.
Maybe just 335.
Yeah, maybe like 320. but yeah, so basically one of the things that I was looking at, the big thing obviously is housing. That was the biggest bulk majority of this budget. I counted up, I think I have notes on...
Be careful what you wish for. We're getting housing.
Yeah. Thanks for the threat, Mr. Trudeau. I have 46 different actions that they're taking with sub actions underneath them. So we're not doing that. The things that I thought though were very interesting to bring up though, I'm going back up here. So public lands for housing. So really talking a lot about, I feel like this one's kind of a a player of Pierre's book, honestly. Yep. This one felt a little ripped off from the Conservatives, which might be why I liked it. Yeah. But this was where they were talking about actually taking surplus lands. So federal properties that are underused, taking surplus lands from the military, lands from the post office, so Canada Post, really trying to repurpose them all to create housing opportunities. So that was something I was like, okay, this sounds like a good idea. Liked that. Also looking at, scrolling through this just a little bit. So enhancing the Housing Accelerator Fund, multiple funds, so Canada Greener Homes grants, and the funding that they are loaning out, they're increasing all of those to try and accelerate the housing builds. So one of the things that they do say at the very beginning is that they're going to build 3.87 million homes by 2030.
Dude.
Which is a little bit disingenuous.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm proud of them, man. Let's see what they can do.
So part of it too is because it's actually 2 million net homes on top of the 1.87 that the CMHC has already promised to build.
So they already started counting.
Yeah, so it's just like one of those things where they're like, oh, we're just going to add the numbers up together and make it sound better.
Of course.
So it was just, it was a little disingenuous. Their whole thing is economic growth through housing, enabling people to live closer to their jobs so they can increase their productivity that way. Ah. I thought that was an interesting way to tie in the whole Canadian productivity problem into it. Well, also, they had to throw in that thing about commute times because we all know that they're in love with the 15-minute cities, which in theory isn't a bad idea to have services nearby that you can walk to and enjoy. The problem is when it's forced on you, that's what we don't like. It's about liberty and choice. Mm-hmm. If you want to choose to live in an area that you have everything at your fingertips within 15 minutes, that's great. If you don't want to live in that and you want to be out away from all the noise of the city and kind of in your own space, that's great too. Not according to this. Mm-hmm. That's not where they're going. But getting back into the nitty-gritty, modernizing health data or housing data and health data, that was another part of it in the kind of social services part. A lot of stuff on the tenant protection side of it, the Canadian Renters Bill of Rights, the mortgage rights, cracking down on short-term rentals.
Dude, that one stuck out to me.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, they're really going after the Airbnbs of the world. And I was, this the way that they're going to try and go after that was really interesting to me.
Yeah. Well, so, to the tune of $73.1 million over 5 years.
Just cracking then, down on people.
Yeah. And then $14.7 million annually after. And I'm like, why do you need that much money to go after short-term rentals? Oh. Is the CRA really that underfunded? Because it seems like they're in debt recovery.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. I think they're going to be pulling out a chapter from Biden's playbook with what he did with the IRS. Yeah. So he did is they invested in firearms for all the IRS agents.
Great.
So it's like, okay, why would your tax people need firearms? And what do you have in mind? And so I have a feeling that it's going to be, I'm not saying he's going to be arming all CRA agents with firearms, but I think he's going to be looking to amplify and increase the heavy-handedness the CRA is able to pull off. And I'm saying, I'm not talking about CRA itself. I'm talking about just government agencies that can go in and take care of whatever's going on with these Airbnb stuff.
Yeah. Another thing that I thought was kind of weird was they're actually enhancing money for CMHC, which doesn't seem like out of the ordinary because they've got control of all these accelerator funds that they're putting through. But they're actually creating a national flood insurance program through the CMHC, which I thought was kind of odd because why are we now taking on that level of insurance again? Because now we're kind of getting into the private insurance industry because I can see the housing insurance was one thing, but now we're starting to cover people's damages to their property. Like, why do we want to enter that foray?
Well, here's the thing is it really adds up and it fits with Trudeau's brand. He wants to do everything. He's like a really bad entrepreneur who can't figure out his niche. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah. 47 different everything in housing alone.
Oh my gosh.
They do promise $4 billion to the Indigenous Housing Strategy and Northern Indigenous folks. Again, I said the Canada Greener Homes affordability, they're upping the money going to that to the tune of $73.5 million for the renewable energy programs that they're doing, $800 million for energy retrofits, and then energy labeling. They're getting $30 million to develop a national home energy labeling program. And like, why?
I'm so angry. Again, it's just more bureaucracy is what this money is all going towards. We need to put money into looking up how to do these things.
Yeah. So $250 million going to encampment removal and remediation.
Okay.
One of the big things that has no dollar amount stuck to it that I thought was actually really cool was restricting corporate investment in housing. So this one says, budget 2024 indicates a plan to limit large corporate investors from purchasing existing family homes, single family homes, with further details to be discussed in upcoming consultations and provided in the 2024 fall economic statement. I'm like, here's something that would actually be useful, you know, limiting the ability for corporate greed to come in and buy up all the single family homes and rent them back to you at exorbitant prices. Mm-hmm. Nowhere in this does it talk about actually taking mortgages and making the interest that you pay on your mortgages income tax deductible. Like there's some really low hanging fruit that they could actually jump on. I have to mention the halal mortgages. I'm realizing because the internet went crazy over that. So for people who don't realize, in the Abrahamic religions, so that's Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, it's written that you're not supposed to be a borrower, that you're not supposed to, and then when you're a lender, you're not supposed to charge interest. And that interest is actually kind of a no-no. Judaism and Islam, they actually follow that. So if you're a Jew or a Muslim, you can't access mortgages in the same way. Christianity, for whatever reason, was just like, nah, that part's kind of debatable.
That's where America came in and gave their own brand of Christianity.
Yeah. Western Christianity.
Yeehaw.
Yeah. Didn't you know Jesus also likes beer and has a gun?
He does, and he loved his interest rates, 100%. He was all about that.
So you may have seen across the Twitter space a couple of people calling this one out in particular. So when they talk about this one, they're actually looking at studying how they can provide mortgages that will not have interest rates. They do it in other parts of the world already because obviously there's a good portion of the world that is Muslim. So they have to get homes in some way. So they figured it out there. But apparently we're spending millions of dollars to study it.
Yeah, just to study it. Not providing any type of result from it. It's just to study it. And people lost their minds. And I'll take this opportunity to talk about it myself. Because yeah. When I first read, obviously, the article was a little shocking in terms of headline reading. Where it's like, we are now trying to change mortgage rules in this country for a specific subset of people. That seemed truly unfair. And the populist right took it and started running a marathon with it and then started doing victory laps with it and started posting weird stuff on Twitter over it.
The memes
were wild. And the issue is, yes, like the problem is like, wow, there's Canadians have to pay interest rates, but Muslims don't. Like that was kind of the rhetoric that was happening. People were getting super upset over it. And they do this in Abu Dhabi. The thing is, yes, they don't have quote unquote how we do interest rates, but they essentially charge them an interest rate, but they just call it something different, structure it differently, but they're still getting charged. So I get on the headline, gets people fired up. Muslims are getting favorable treatment over hardcore true Canadians. I heard it. Trust me. I read it. That's what was being said. And not simply, it's not really what's happening. It's just A, we're putting research in something that I think is unnecessary, but two, even if it does go through, they're still going to be paying essentially an interest rate. It's just going to be structured differently because their faith was able to get around it, very similar to how USA got around, you know, usury sins around the Christian faith back in the day. Mm-hmm. So here we are.
Yeah. So the other thing that I'll just say about this to kind of close off housing, a lot of it is like the good parts of it is actually activating federal properties. Like that's actually a huge win for us. Canada Post, federal offices, military lands, and just land that's being held in perpetuity right now, not being utilized. Like those are wins. Everything else is a big spend.
Yeah.
Like everything else is a big spend. And there seems to be a lot of focus on the developers and the people who are constructing apartments and really kind of focusing heavy on giving them the subsidies. Like I think there's a change in one of the subsidies from 4% to 10% for apartment construction. And it's like, we're not out here trying to make everybody a renter for life. Like we really do want to incentivize the everyday person to be able to build homes, but that's not what this does.
Mayor Calgary wants though. She just came out and said that today. So that was fun.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
She dropped that in an interview. She's like, yeah, you know, people being renters, that's okay. You know, because like people move and people don't want to be tied down. Like I think home ownership is actually, it's starting to be a thing of the past. People don't really want it anymore. And this is the mayor of Calgary and people had the audacity to be upset when she got booed at a Calgary Flames game. And it's like, well, that's so disrespectful. The mayor sucks. She's terrible at her job. So yeah, she does deserve to get booed. They don't deserve to be in their ivory castles being protected from any type of criticism that might come their way. No, if you're going to be among the people, you suck at your job and you suck at helping the people, then you deserve to be let known about it instead of being protected. Like some leaders in this country have tried to normalize that in such a way. So yeah, that happened.
Yeah. So last two things, directly impacting you. If you're a new home buyer, you're going to be able to actually take more out of your RRSP.
Wow.
And they're going to be able to extend that time for paying it back. And then,
amazing.
And then also they're going to extend the amortization period for new builds. So if you're buying a new build, they're going to raise that from 25 years to 30 years. So you get to pay way more interest. But what they're doing with that is that it's to make it easier for you to be able to purchase a home because it changes the calculation when you're actually going to apply for a mortgage, because by increasing that time and spreading it over a longer time, your monthly payments go down. You just end up paying more at the end, but you might actually be able to qualify for a mortgage. So wow, that's kind of the nitty gritty on everything housing.
Have you fallen asleep yet? Because we're still with you on this one. It gets juicy. We're going to try to keep the pace up here and keep you awake, though. These are important things to talk about.
Social services and healthcare. Really, really quick.
Who cares? I'm just kidding.
So they're basically going to make it easier for internationally trained folks to become professionals in Canada.
Amazing.
So
that's nice.
National PharmaCare program. We already know about that.
Useless.
Yep. They're approving $1.5 billion to fund it to focus on contraceptives and diabetes medication.
Oh, nice.
Canada Dental Care Plan, they're funding that as well. And so they're hoping to get 9 million Canadians insured. So
consultants line up.
Yeah. And what I'm kind of baffled by is the fact that, like, is there really 9 million people in Canada that don't have access to dental insurance either through their own private plans or through provincial plans as it is right now? Is that the case? Or are we actually going to start moving people from private plans and from provincial plans to a federal plan? That's the question that I have.
Yeah, I think there will be about 9 million and they probably all reside in BC. That's what's going to happen.
Okay. I don't know why BC, but explain.
Because they're the only ones that don't have like a government that's fighting for them.
Okay, fair.
Is what I'm saying. Like they're not really advocating for their own like provincial programs I'm seeing in general. The only thing they do advocate for is that they have their own carbon tax and they're pretty fired up about it. So that's naturally, obviously I'm being facetious when I'm saying this. Mm-hmm. But in general, like either it's going to be that or 9 million people don't have addresses in 10 of our provinces or 3 of our territories. So
yeah, what I think is interesting is they actually came out with data like showing the amount of people that this would impact, and it's like something stupid like 5% of the population actually isn't insured, and we know that 5% of 40 million is not 9 million.
Dude, so that's what I learned in math school. Like, are you sure about that? Double check.
Trudeau math.
You know, you said we're 40 million, right? Is that where we're at?
Yeah.
Wow. 40 million. You said 5%? Wow. Apparently, on my calculator, that's 2 million.
Yeah.
Wow, it's a lot smaller than 9.
Yeah, and the last thing on this that I'll say is just food. Oh, my goodness, can't speak now.
Food banks?
School food programs.
Oh, yes.
So I like that.
Feed the children.
I like that a lot. I've said it many times. The best invest you can make is in kids, and that's great. It's $1 billion over 5 years for that. However, this is my caveat, is that this should be delivered by the provinces. This should not be a federal system unless they want to take the whole kit and caboodle, like education, the whole deal. Because otherwise, they're just piecemealing things. And that's the problem, is that every time you piecemeal things, that's extra bureaucracy, extra legislation. It's just, it slows it down, makes a mess out of it. This is where I'm like, I agree with Maxime Bernier, and I agree with Daniel Smith, where they're like, this should be jurisdiction of the provinces.
Wow, did he just utter a PPC talking point on this podcast? That's not allowed. No, but so, I agree. It should be administered by the provinces. And as you said, the more you piecemeal it, even the more greater opportunity you increase the miscommunication between arms of government. And as you said, things will go wrong. And guess what? Kids are still going to go hungry. We out here.
Yep. The other thing, public service, they're supposed to shrink. They're saying they're shrinking 5,000 full-time employees. I think a lot of that is coming from the fact that they're getting heat from everybody going, look at how many public employees we have now compared to before. The problem with that, so on a whole, I'm like, hooray, good. The problem with that is that right now our economy is relying on the fact that we're adding public service employees. If we start cutting them, our economy is going to be so far in the toilet, because that's the only thing propping us up right now is that and immigration. So,
and one other thing, and we're going to get into it.
Okay.
Small businesses too.
Small businesses are down.
I know. And it's going to get worse.
Yeah. Anyway, to wrap this whole budget up, because I could go into further detail and I don't want to, because it was painful.
Dude, look at his eyes. Look what you guys are doing to him. He's gonna cry. The federal government's budget did this to him. This is a broken man here. We love you, Reg. You're doing a great job. Keep it up.
$1.6 billion for lethal and non-lethal military aid to Ukraine. I'm like,
don't care.
No. No. Well, they've got art galleries to build, right?
So. Yeah, got to set them up, you know.
And then, again, that national flood insurance, I have it twice because I was just like, I hate that so much. So that's going to be another $15 million to CMHC for that. $52 million over 5 years to enact and enforce the new Online Harms Act.
No, not $52 million. Where's that going into?
Oh,
data.
I've got it broken down. Don't worry.
Please let us know.
So that's going to be so they can enforce the requirements for large online platforms to act responsibly and create a new commission and an ombudsperson. How do you say that?
Omnibus? I don't even know what you're looking
for. Ombudsperson.
Oh.
Ombuds. I don't know.
Gee, it's late.
It's a struggle for digital safety. A person that's in charge.
Nice. Good stuff. Well, guess what? Because you know what that means?
What?
More money's going to go to Rachel Gilmore. Let's go.
But it gets better.
But it gets better. You mean it gets worse?
It gets much worse. $273.6 million over 6 years for community outreach, law enforcement, and counter radicalization and victim support.
Oh, they're coming for us.
Yeah.
Oh, gee. They're coming for us.
$32 million over 6 years and $11 million a year thereafter for the Security Infrastructure Program, which funds safety and security for community and religious hubs.
Wow.
And $7.3 million over 6 years for each of the Special Envoy and Preserving Holocaust Remembrance and Combating Anti-Semitism and the Special Representative on Combating Islamophobia. Phobia.
Oh, shoot. Are they going to do that with the Palestine protest too?
Probably not.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's... I'm like, oh my God, that's so, so much money. We're looking at like $360 million going into the Online Harms Act and its various pieces.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild, eh? They're coming for a speech.
To the tune of over half a billion dollars, sorry, over a quarter of a billion dollars.
Shout out Michael Geis and Jen Garrison on that one. We love you.
Oh, man. Woo!
Wow. Yeah, it's things that we don't need in this country. I want 500, Alex.
Yeah, seriously. I was going to go into the whole taxation thing. I think everybody's beat that to a dead, like, beat it to a pulp. I can't even say the words anymore.
The body doesn't exist. That's how much it's been beaten.
Everybody's upset about that. I kind of said this earlier this morning, and when they talked about, you know, taxing people that are making over $250,000 in capital gains, the problem is, who is doing that? That's your doctors, your lawyers, your dentists, your professionals that we are all in need of right now. And that's also your businesses. And if you start taxing those folks too much, they'll all either head south of the border because they have high mobility, because they have skills that are in demand everywhere, or you'll just see more businesses, like we've talked about before on this show, move themselves out of this country, and it will be one of the biggest detractors for foreign investment. And we'll start to see that productivity go down. You'll start to see revenues from businesses go down. You'll start to see more family doctor need, more specialist need. It's just, it's a bad road to go down. And I was very much a tax the rich guy in my day. I will fully admit that.
Oh, so it's your fault. Got it. Just kidding.
Yeah. Me and people like me who were misinformed, because I think that as you look at it, unfortunately, the lay of the land is these people are going to get their money anyway, and they're going to do whatever they can to protect the money that they've got. And if that means that they are going to find the loopholes to still operate and exist in Canada while paying tax elsewhere, that's exactly what they're going to do. And anybody who is anybody in this world right now who is incorporated is actively looking at that or have already done it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think the thing I also want to call out on that, I think, is a point of clarity to either make people feel better or worse, however you choose to see it, is they said they're increasing it to 66.6% is what they're going to increase the rate to. This is not uncommon. This has happened in our history. It's gone as high as 75% back in the 90s. It went up. It used to be 50% back in the 70s. Over the 80s, went up to 66.6, and then 90s went up to 75%, and then was dropped back down in the early 2000s back to 66.6, and then over time went back to 50% during the Harper days. So this has fluctuated over time as well. You can do your own research, figure out what time in history that was when it went up again. But it is very interesting kind of how that all worked out. So people are worked up about it, as they should be, because it's annoying when the government tries to claw back more on you. And it's just another sign that they are losing money and trying to find ways to claw it back in other ways. The thing that I do have a problem with is the constant rhetoric online, like, oh, finally, corporations are getting theirs. They're finally getting taxed like the rest of us. And this is what I'm annoyed by, is people are so simple-minded and not thinking that I'm miserable, so you should be miserable. It's not advocating for the fact that I should be less miserable and they shouldn't be going after everything else as well. Like, we should be advocating for less tax rates on everybody so that people can use their money, more of it, to do what they want to do and get ahead in life. So that's kind of where things are at with that.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that they're looking at the fact that they're like, okay, $52.9 billion in spending. Where's that money going to come from? We don't want it to come out of our pockets, but we see these rich corporations doing so well, like they can pay it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunately a naive and uninformed opinion. And like I said, I was there. I held that opinion. That was me. I see you if you are in that boat as well. It's the wrong boat, though. Jump ship.
especially when you're 40s right now and still having that perspective.
Yeah. Well, I'm not in my 40s. So.
I know. You are a young, wise man. But there's people who get into our friggin' comment section who are well in long in life, who think this is the way to go, and I'm concerned about their well-being and education levels.
Yeah, we like to make fun of education in the States. It's not so hot in Canada, too. Oh, man. But yeah, just, I guess the takeaways are lots of things in here, things that will be beneficial for the provinces, for the people, and things that I think that they have not thought out with the unintended consequences that they may have, and that I hope doesn't come to pass, but if they do, I will not be surprised. And just, it feels like it's unrelentless spending on everything and anything. They've thrown all the spaghetti at the wall. They're just trying to buy your votes at this point in time. And it's just another pylon of debt that they're just pushing to the next government because they know that they're not going to get in. And this is a Hail Mary to save some of the Liberal seats is what I see this as. And I think what this will also do is that when Pierre starts repealing line item after line item after line item, everybody's going to be like, why? Why is this prime minister doing this? And it's going to turn him into a one-term prime minister because he's going to have to repeal so much to try and get our debt servicing under control. The people aren't going to be able to deal with the pain of it. And we're also not seeing the impact of all of this yet because they've been delaying it. And so that when it comes in full force with the next government, I think that the people are going to blame that government and they're not going to blame the previous government because they're going to be out of sight, out of mind. But it's going to take some time to see that impact. And then the following government after Pierre is going to reap the benefits of all the things that he did. And they're going to be like, wow, this government.
They're brilliant.
They've got it figured out. And unfortunately, it's the way that things work. It takes time to see the impact of your work, and you might not actually get to benefit from that.
Yeah, and it goes back to an interview we did with Jen a couple months back. And I remember she mentioning how much the Liberals hate Pierre. Like, they don't want to lose to a Poilievre conservative, and they really don't want to lose to him and his conservative party. And he ticks off a lot of people, even like an actress from The Beaverton called him a beady-eyed weasel on Twitter today. Well, she doesn't like him. And so, like, it's really interesting how much Liberals hate this man. And so this is what my perspective, I shared with you over text today, was you said it very eloquently. I'm not going to put it as eloquently because I'm not as smart as you. But it's 100% a plan to bury Pierre. Justin Trudeau knows it's over. He's done. The Titanic is sinking, and he's trying to do everything he can. He's like, if I can just find ways to screw this guy over six ways a Sunday, I'm going to do it. And he's just, as you said, burying all this stuff, trying to get all this stuff passed. Because when it comes, when Pierre has to go in, like, yeah, we're taking away research on halal mergers. Racist, white supremacist, only cares about the Christian religion. Got it. Oh, repealing the National Food Care Program. Well, hates children, clearly. And he goes after one, they're going to just label him with every label in the book and go after him. And as you said, it's going to turn him a one-term prime minister because people easily forget what it was like under the last guy. And I would like to have faith in people, but I don't. And I would like to see Pierre go more than two, but this is also, more than one, but also coming from a guy, I haven't seen him in power, so I can't really say a whole lot. I just know that the Long Island guys in power is the worst that we've had. And I like the plans or the ideas that are coming out of the Poilievre campaign. So it gives me a little bit of hope, but it's cautious optimism at the very least. So that's kind of where I land on that.
I'm right with you. Like, I've seen him talk quite a few times. Like, the content of his message resonates. The man delivering it doesn't excite me. I'm not like,
what?
Not like, man, Pierre, you and I need to go have a beer.
Oh, you really not vibing?
He's not my vibe.
Interesting.
I like his rhetoric.
But you vibe with me.
I know, but you're not Pierre.
Dang. Insults and asking.
But I do like how he does dunk on the other politicians and really kind of puts them in their place when they need to be. I do think that there is a time and place for that and that every moment shouldn't be a gotcha moment. But yeah, as far as it goes, I'm not really sold on the Pierre train. So I am cautiously optimistic. If he sticks to the content of the things that he has promised, I will be happy with that. Mm. That's kind of where I leave that. So, but if you could get a Justin Trudeau face with a Pierre Poilievre brain, I think we'd be in a better place. But wow, I haven't seen that.
Going there.
I haven't seen that since Jack Layton. So
Jack Layton. Oh
my gosh. I loved Jack Layton.
Oh yeah, I'm not surprised by that. That makes sense. My nan loved Jack Layton too. Very interesting. So my guess is, like, I think the one plan that if Pierre put this as a part of his platform, you'd totally be on board with is enshrining the CBC in the Constitution.
You love that.
Dude, it's
there's no way you can enshrine anything in the Constitution. It's true. Like you'd have to get all the provinces to agree on it, yeah. First off. And all the provinces aren't gonna agree on squat. Like I mean,
we all want the CBC in the Constitution.
Oh man.
I reason I joke about it is because I love you. That's how I share my love. So
yeah. But I'll go back on it for a second though. I'll say that I do think that there is a place for the CBC. And then the reason I say that is because I am a reformist. I'm not an abolitionist. I'm not here to burn everything down. I think that there is merit to what the CBC could be. And I think that how it exists right now playing in the entertainment market, that's not what it should be. I don't think that's how it was envisioned. And I don't think that's where it should be either. And the fact that we're watching ads on CBC when we pay for it, that burns me. So yeah, I could totally see everybody being like, yeah, burn it down, get rid of it. I don't think that's the way that we should probably go. I think that we should probably reform it, strip it back a lot, take some of those CEOs that are currently in power and show them the door because I don't think that they're doing a good job and strip it back down to what it should be. And that's kind of where I sit with it. Enshrining it in the Constitution, that was what I was kind of told. I wanted to throw that out there because I thought it was radical, but yeah, you're not going to put anything in the Constitution. Yeah. They couldn't even get Meech Lake passed back in the day. So they're not going to get anything that all the provinces agree on.
Yeah. Admittedly, Jen did you dirty on that one. Dude, the whole conservative right was like going off on that. And it was so funny to watch. I was like, poor Reg getting flamed for an opinion that wasn't even his. He was just sharing.
Jen didn't do me dirty too bad. It was the person who maybe put the TikTok in.
Dude, it was a good conversation. It was a good conversation. I made sure the context was there. It's like my friend who recently got involved with the Bell Media shenanigans, this was his perspective on it. Da 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 da. And then all of a sudden people are like, what's this guy saying? That's the only thing they heard. I thought I kept the context in. Clearly not. Holy jumping.
Speaking of out of context though, we got to get into our other topics.
We do need to get into our other topics. Which one do you want to get into though? Let's make sure we're talking about the same one.
You go first.
All right. So ArriveCan contractor, breaking news. Michael Bennett, MP Michael Bennett throws it up on Twitter. He's like, RCMP just raided GC Strategies Homes, and Christian Firth came into the House of Commons yesterday, would have been, to testify in front of everybody. And Michael Barrett gets up there and he's just grilling him. And this guy had to testify, and it was interesting to watch. And he had to give at least some truthful answer, which was nice to see. But it was, I think this is going to be one of a few many searches on this guy's home.
Yeah, and I honestly think that, like, we got to meet Mr. Barrett when we were in Ottawa the other week. I really like him. I think he's a good guy. I think that he's got a good head on his shoulders, and watching that today, I was like, go for it, man. Yeah. Go get him. Go for blood. Go for the jugular. Yeah. Juggler. Oh my God, I can't talk at all.
We can't talk at all.
Jugular.
Yeah, get that jugular. Yeah, well, that was the thing. I'll admit, I was going to save this for like our bonus episode. People actually wanted to hear it. But the one thing I will say about Barrett was I've met a good chunk of politicians, and a lot of them I just don't get good vibes with typically. Him, I genuinely felt he was a genuine guy. And yeah. I enjoyed talking to him, and I liked how he gave it to us pretty upfront. Where again, the rhetoric with a lot of people is like, we just need a jail Trudeau.
Yeah.
And he gets that from his constituents a lot too. And he's like, that's just not my job. My job is to shine a light on all the things he's doing and let the RCMP, CSIS do their job. But it's not my job to go get the cuffs and go after Trudeau, but I'm just here to do a job. And a lot of people are disenchanted with the RCMP. They don't think they're going to do anything. A lot of people saw the raid happen today and they're saying, oh, they're probably just going to cover everything up. They're probably going to find stuff and then hide it, which, you know, could happen. I don't know, but it did give me some hope though that the RCMP, I just thought the RCMP were going to ignore this altogether. So the fact they exercised a search warrant on the place gave me a little, not much, but a little bit of hope. And then to see that brother, Christian Firth, get in front of the House of Commons today, I was like, praise God. something's going down with this. That's awesome.
Yeah. I got the same vibe from him. I was like, oh man, he's actually telling us like it is. Yeah. He's not sugarcoating things. He's not giving us the political spiel that there's, you know, been pre-approved by the
whip.
The whip.
Sit down, shut up.
That only happens on the liberal side. Poor Cody Blois, too. Our local Nova Scotian guy.
Haven't seen him since. Hasn't been the same. Someone check on that, but brother. Put an APB out for him. We don't know where he is.
But yeah, I totally agree. When I watched his kind of cross-examination of him, I was like, yes, this is exactly what we need in the House of Commons right now. And fully support you, sir, and all the work that you're doing. Thank you. You're doing us a service.
Absolutely. And I'll end it with that idea with, I did find it funny that they admonished Christian Firth in the House. That was a funny scene where the speaker stands up and is like, Christian Firth, you've been admonished. I guess we have to make it official, get it on the record, but it was kind of funny. But I agree. You said with Michael Baer, I did appreciate in our meeting with him that he could tell we want him to say specific things for us, but he wasn't giving it to us. He was just, he was real. Like, this is how it's going to happen. This is what's going down. I know you don't like it, but it's just the reality of what we're dealing with. And I'm like, dang, brother, I hate that I heard that, but also respect you a lot for telling the truth as much as at least I can tell it's the truth. So yeah. Respect to that. But Quebec.
Oh my goodness.
Not only did the Canadians get knocked out of a playoff race and be last place cause they suck. But they also suck in politics too. So
yeah. So this was a fun thing that I found. So you know how Quebec is always about its their referendums of leaving Canada.
Yeah. We're here for it.
Now Quebec wants to leave Quebec.
Oh, gee.
It's bad enough that they wanted to leave the country. Now they want to leave themselves, specifically Montreal.
Referendum session.
So they're putting it out, a referendum, to have Montreal potentially be the 11th province.
No, Montreal itself?
It's Montreal itself because they do not feel that Montreal represents the values and the rest of Quebec.
Oh, yeah, because it's got too many Anglophones in
there. Too many Anglophones.
Get rid of them. Ship them out.
Gotcha. So they are actually putting forward a referendum to have Montreal excluded from the rest of Quebec and become its own entity.
Wow, that's wild. That's crazy.
Yeah. So you can find that on the Montreal Gazette.
Peaky referendum promise prompts and renewed calls to partition Quebec. Oh, man, we love to see it. The revival of the partition debate, which has its origins in the late 1970s. Oh yeah, we're bringing it back. As a countervailing force to Quebec separation comes as the Parti Québécois pledged this weekend to hold a referendum on independence by 2030. Both groups reviving the partition issue cite negative impact from legislation passed by Premier François Legault's government on the rights of minorities. That's the issue. Okay, got it. People are just so fed up with everything that Legault is doing that they really want to consider partitioning from Quebec, said Marc Perez, a West Island business person who ran for the Canadian Party of Quebec in Darcy McGee riding in the 2022 get out of my face general election. Sorry, I didn't have popped up there.
Yeah. So that could be our 11th province.
Dude, who's moving? Let's go colonize Montreal again.
Well, I'm pretty sure from the way that this article reads, it's Montreal that wants to leave Quebec.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, it's Quebec doesn't want Montreal, and Montreal doesn't want Quebec more.
Oh, it's one of those weird marriages. Yeah. Got it. Yeah.
So not only does Quebec not want to be in Canada, Quebec doesn't want to be in Quebec. I love it.
God bless. Yeah, that, as you said, probably won't go anywhere, but funny. I do appreciate that as a gift, sir. Yeah. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Last thing I did want to get into, though, because I thought it was wild. Jamil. House comms today. Did you see that?
I didn't.
Dude. I guess it's part of tradition when a new MP gets in, they give an address to the House of Commons. And he took his opportunity and said, hey, Mr. Trudeau, remember me? Yeah, the twofer. Yeah, I dare you to try racism on me. Call me a racist. I dare you to call me a bigot because it won't work on me. And he went after him and then he just laid out his African descent, how he's black, how his riding is very diverse from an ethnic perspective. Like, try. It's not going to work. your tactics aren't going to work on me. I dare you to try it. When I call you out and you don't like my ideas, I dare you to call me a racist. See how that goes for you. And I was like, oh. Dude, I have right here. Oh, I'll play the first minute for you, see what your thoughts are.
Okay.
It's very, very interesting.
Aware that there is a liberal playbook that gets used against people who disagree with this prime minister. A playbook that likes to marginalize and vilify anyone who has the audacity to stand up and say what is happening in this country right now is not right. And that playbook the prime minister likes to use, likes to cast people who disagree with him as racists. And I would be welcoming the prime minister to try that with me. You know, based on our history, I don't think that's going to go so well for him. But I also believe that he is completely out of touch with the needs and desires, the hopes and dreams of our very diverse country and the diverse communities like the one I represent in Durham. He's welcome to take his claims that people who disagree with him are racist to my African father and see how that goes for him.
Just goes in for the next few minutes.
I see. I'd be like, I was waiting for him to basically say he can politely take those claims and shove them up his butt. That's what I was waiting for.
Well, do it with me, Reg. He has two words for you. Suck it. Oh, God bless. Well, that was a great episode, sir.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys are here with us. We were happy to drop this one because there was a lot that went down in the past day. So We wanted to get that out for you so that you could enjoy it with us. And glad you could be here.
Absolutely. Great bonus episode for the homies. And if we missed anything, feel free to message us and we'll try to get to it next week because there's just a lot happening in general. But I am glad we hit the halal mount mortgages because admittedly, that was a soft spot for me this week. That one ticked me off. Mainly because I'm okay with debating and questioning bad policy, but let's like debate the facts and not just cry about it on Twitter and a bunch of misinformation crap. Get out of my face, left or right. I'm sick of it. So whatever it is you're doing, whether you be going to the gym,
watching the debates,
or watching some NHL playoff hockey, baby. Let's see how the Leafs do against the Bruins this time because they absolutely suck. Whatever it is you're doing, wherever you are, we love you. We're out. Peace. Matthews ain't hitting 70.